Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today, filling in for John Hockenberry. We spent a little bit of time last week bringing you up to date on Florida and the nasty fight over redrawing that state's congressional districts. Republicans are fighting each other, not just Democrats, in a battle over political advantage, fair representation, and minority voting rights. But Florida is far from alone. All across the country, from Texas to Arizona to Alabama and beyond, fights over redistricting are raging. They're weaving their way in and out of partisan state legislatures and the courts. In fact, 43 states have lawsuits pending against their current district maps, including Maryland. Here's Maryland Governor Republican Larry Hogan.
Fair elections and a healthy and strong competitive two-party system have been nearly impossible in our state. Maryland has been singled out for having some of the most gerrymandered districts in the entire country. This is not a distinction that we should be proud of.
Well, Maryland has a weird shape, and so do its congressional voting districts. The fight over redistricting, really, though, it's really about voting and who counts in a democracy. With more is Nate Persily. He's professor of law at Stanford University. Professor Persily, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe it's easy to imagine that a couple of states, Maryland, for instance, might have a hard time agreeing on a map, but battles in 43 states? What's going on? Why all the dysfunction?
Well, I'd say the amount of litigation that we have this cycle is not atypical. You know, every 10 years or so, we redraw lines following a census, and then we go into court for the remaining 5 to 7 years to litigate about those lines. What's different is that the legal terrain has shifted in the process. And so, for example, there are some states that were previously covered under the Voting Rights Act, and the Supreme Court struck that down. And so now they have renewed possibilities when it comes to drawing lines. But it is true that these plans, which should have been in place for the 2002 election, are still in limbo in many of these states. And the controversies, as is always the case, focus around issues of partisanship and issues of race.
Right. I mean, there's a great deal of stake here that's obvious: political advantage and partisanship. I think we all get that. But no one is allowed to use these lines under the law to edge out minority voters. That's illegal. But it can still happen by using influence in another name.
Well, that's right. And part of the question now and always in these cases is, what does it mean, as you said, to edge out minority voters, or as I might ask it, to dilute their votes? What is it that you do as a line drawer in order to make sort of life worse for African Americans and Latinos? And there are several ways to do it, and it looks like all of those ways have been done at some point during this redistricting cycle, so that you have courts around the country looking at the questions whether you have over-concentrated racial minorities into too few districts, whether you have split them up among too many districts, whether you have used race too much in your thinking about drawing districts, so that you've sort of sent a signal that race is predominating in the districting process. We who draw district lines operating under these constitutional legal theories often say that, you know, you can harm a racial group by packing, cracking, and stacking, which is to break them up too much, concentrate them too many, or otherwise dilute their vote.
And this is a big issue in a place like Texas. Let's talk about Texas for a second. There is a move there that in some ways would abandon the principle that everybody's heard of: one person, one vote. Now, this isn't to say that citizens don't get to vote, but the way you count the size of a district, like if it has a lot of immigrants who don't vote, or felons, or children, non-voters, it can dilute the power of everybody who has the right to vote. And that's a big issue in Texas right now.
Well, that's right. And it's going up to the Supreme Court in a case called Evanwell versus Abbott. And you have the plaintiffs in that case have said, look, it's unfair if I live in a district which is all citizens and everyone has an equal vote there. But in next door in the other district, voters who there are essentially have their district padded with where it's half non-citizen, right? And so and their vote is twice as much as mine because there are fewer voters there, even if there are the same number of people. And it's sort of strange that we haven't resolved this issue in the 50 years since the one person, one vote rule, but we haven't, and it has dramatic implications. I mean, if the court were to side with these plaintiffs who say that you should only draw districts around voters as opposed to around people, it would have dramatic implications for Latino political power in places like Texas and California, where the issues of citizenship are real ones when you look at the different districts.
So, Nate Persily, what's the outlook here? If you're a voter in Texas or Florida or Alabama or one of the other states that I mentioned, the power of your vote now versus the last time we had a census 10 years ago, how powerful is it?
Well, it really depends on who you are. At least that's what the plaintiffs in these cases will tell you, that for racial minorities in the South, you are in a different type of district than you would be if the Voting Rights Act were sort of full-throated and covering you. It depends, because no one comes out and says, well, we've created a racially discriminatory redistricting plan. And so there are subtle aspects to each one of these plans that affect certain numbers of voters and then also provide for political advantage to the people who are drawing them.
Power, advantage, and the subtleties of diluting the vote. Nate Persily, professor of law at Stanford. Thank you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.